Inspired by Mark Twain, let's save some ants. This is David and I'm here with
John.
And our aim is to discuss some topics, and no ants will be injured in the production of these discussions.
So Greta Thunberg has recently been in court. Some of you will remember Greta came to prominence with her school strike, which became a worldwide form of activism. We even did it in my hometown. We had a big demonstration in the local square. But the court case has brought up some interesting issues, which we'll be having a discussion about. Welcome to Little Shakers.
Can I just say, this is Freddie, can I just say, I fully support Greta, you know, Thumbelina. Anyway, I support her because I want green spaces for my little dog to walk about in, and you know, not only my little dog, I know I'm usually a bit, you know, focused on that, but, you know, for future generations, not just, you know, my kids, but my grandkids as well, you know. There's a saying, I believe, wise men plant trees that they know they'll never sit under the shade of. And I sometimes wonder if, you know, Greta has got a finger on that particular pulse, really. So I support on that basis.
George here, I fully support Greta Thunberg because for any change is a business opportunity, not just from T-shirts, but from any kind of innovation. So from my point of view, what a great opportunity. Unless it becomes obvious that the biggest business opportunity of all is not to support her, and then, of course, I fully 100% don't support her. We'll have a look at the spreadsheet, and I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, well, this is Gavin here. I don't know why I'm even here. I'm not so bothered either way, but I'll tell you this much. When I was young, I was a bit left-wing and a bit radical, and I almost considered once striking, but I didn't do in the end. I mean, I worked in office, so, I mean, it were all main workers that did all striking, and obviously we all benefited in the end. But anyway, that's as may be. But as I got older, I got more and more conservative and careful because I've got kids and grandkids, and we all do gravitate, don't we, to be more conservative and more careful and self-protecting as we get older. Do I feel sad that I've lost my edge in terms of, you know, positivity and whatever? No, I don't, because, you know, my mortgage is paid off. So as far as I'm concerned, no.
I'll tell you this much, this is William. I don't know whether she's right or wrong. I don't know whether she's been corralled by other big businesses with secret agendas. But what I do know is that young people should have fight and spirit in their heart and their soul, and should push for innovation and change that hopefully is positive. And the cynicism of other people taking that away from the youth is actually counter to the evolutionary process. And the big danger is that we could be stultified and actually reverse the innovative process of evolution and become totally focused on maintaining what is. And if that should happen, the world will not become a brighter place. It'll just be a place. And so she signifies that to me, not just her, but any group who want to protest and sing and shout and push for change. So do I know that she's right? No. But I know that she's on the right path, and which is positive change.
Hello, Arthur here. I don't know. I'm a bit like William. I don't know whether to agree or disagree. I mean, I don't want to saw off the branch that I'm sitting on the biosphere or whatever it's called, the breathing space, what we live in. I'm not sure. But if the New World Order means I'm going to give up my pies and eat just only vegetables like cauliflower and such, although I don't mind a carrot now and again, even if they are funny looking at times, I'm not sure I'm fully in support of it. I love a pie. Anyway, the main thing I always say, keep smiling.
Hi, Toby here. I support Greta Thunberg because, well, that's why I eat lentils.
One of the things that it drew to my attention, this is before the verdict, was how absolutely outraged a group of people actually were, to the point of wishing ill on her as a person. And I ended up in a debate with somebody online speaking about change and evolution and the evolutionary process of society. For instance, the suffragettes. The suffragettes used to cause disruption to draw attention to the fact that women didn't have the vote. I think it was the Derby horse race. They disrupted it, and one of the suffragettes was actually injured. In fact, I think subsequently died.
Yeah, fatally injured, yeah.
She was fatally injured and she died.
Yeah.
Well, that's doubly bad then.
Yeah.
And I'm not belittling that, by the way, just with a little bit of whimsy there. And also, there were activists, female activists at that time, were put in prison and were physically injured. I'm not sure whether in that era there's some talk of being sexually abused and things like that by the authorities.
Are stories, yeah. And some of them went on hunger strike and were force-fed, which was pretty brutal.
So society's response to change can be, and John's used, I think, an incredibly appropriate word there, can be quite brutal. So does it really need the public? Now, this is where the shaking of the jar comes in. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be an ant in the jar? Do you want to be a peaceful ant in the jar, coexisting with other ants in the jar? Do you want to be somehow in charge of shaking that jar? Or do you want to be the person who tells somebody else when to shake the jar? Mark Twain, as we've said before, was certainly onto something here.
Yeah. I mean, in the Kutch court case, I understand that the charge was dismissed.
Yeah, there was some small technicality in terms of the police authorities overstepping the mark and thereby rendering their own case inappropriate, ineffective. And so therefore, Greta Thunberg's lawyers managed to have the case thrown out. Now, this is justice. Now, whether we like it or not, our justice system has stood for generations and at one time was recognised as one of the best in the world. We're not really quibbling over that. We're not lawyers, and therefore we don't have a lot to say about that, other than the fact that whether we like it or not, or whether some people like it or not, justice has been done and been seen to be done, and therefore she's not been charged with anything.
And yet commenters on various posts of one type or another are advocating some sort of punishment.
One person that I read a comment, this is on the Times comments section of a YouTube video just prior to the case going to court, and many people, at the time there were only about 15, 17 comments. Only two of them were supportive. One said, "Go Greta." Another said something similar. Some were talking about what her carbon footprint was, and yet we both know that often she's used a sailboat to get around to places that she needs to go. So her carbon footprint compared to certain people like Rishi, in brackets, the helicopter fan Sunak, is a totally different thing. When basically the technology exists for major Zoom meetings and what have you, where people don't need to fly across the world to South Africa in terms of ordinary political machinations, discussions and negotiations. So things are thrown at Greta Thunberg as though she's wasting resources. Well, let's just get this into context. She is trying to save the planet. Now, a lot of people put her down. She's a kid and this and that, although she's 20 now, I believe. David Attenborough has been saying this kind of thing for decades. David Bellamy was on TV. He was saying this kind of thing, even way back when he was around. So this sort of thinking that the biosphere is under threat is not new. Now, also people are throwing, well, if China doesn't do such and such, and if they don't do this, and if somebody doesn't do that, why should we? Well, there is setting an example which might influence world behaviour, and at least it gives us a chance. Now, one of the things that was said by somebody commenting, and you have to wonder where this person's mind was, they said that she should be imprisoned, she should be put in a male prison, and therefore left to suffer the potential consequences, which must have meant that they wanted her to be brutalised
and they wanted her to suffer over and above what our legal system would consider acceptable. So this is the court of public opinion.
You could argue that the comments section of a social media post doesn't really represent public opinion as a whole. But even so, it's an indicator.
I would say this. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe that person's extreme. I get that. But there's how many people viewed that and were harbouring such thoughts, but their own sense of decency wouldn't allow them to put it.
Yeah.
And so we don't know. It's an unknown quantity. But it worries me that people have no sense of a proportionate or proportional justice. Yes, the activities of people, climate change protesters, are disruptive. Recently, the snooker tournament, the World Championship, someone threw orange powder onto the snooker table. And the consequence was that an unofficial interval was called, so therefore the bar will have made more money. The TV TV coverage was delayed on one table, so therefore it continued later, so the revenue that that generates wouldn't have been greatly affected. The cause was drawn attention to, and the table was restored within about 20, 25 minutes. So people online then were shouting about it, what an outrage it was. Recently, the Mona Lisa has had some orange soup thrown at it, but everyone knows it's behind bulletproof glass.
And the other thing about this is, while, yeah, we can see extreme, brutal arguments for what punishment protesters should get on social media, on more, shall we say, civilised platforms, you'll get ridiculous arguments against the idea that climate change is happening or that we need to do anything about it. For instance, you mentioned China earlier. This argument that Britain produces less than 1% of the world's carbon output, yet there's only, whatever it is, 120, 127 countries in the world. Therefore, every country, on average, produces less than 1%. So we should all be doing something about it, based on that logic, not doing nothing. And there's other irrational arguments against it as well. So that's another consequence of the situation.
So when we bring rationality into it, here's an interesting thing. Well, I find this interesting. I know somebody who doesn't believe this is conspiracy theory thinking, which also seems to be behind some of these algorithms and why people put extreme things in videos to try and attract a certain audience and what have you. I have a friend who doesn't believe that the moon landing actually took place, the American moon landing, Neil Armstrong, etc. Now, human nature is competitive. We know this. We are supposed to believe that both China and Russia, who were competing with America, the United States of America, to get the first man on the moon, we're supposed to believe that they're involved in a conspiracy where the United States not only didn't put a man on the moon, but they've not kicked off on it for the last 50 years. In other words, complaining that it's a massive con. It's just human nature does not allow for that to be the real truth and the real outcome, and yet people cling to it. So there's a lot of irrationality. So what do I mean in relation to saving the planet? If we evolve our society fairly gradually, but also fairly quickly, into a way that it helps us to be okay, it helps us to function well and helps us to be safe on the planet, meanwhile it saves the planet, guarantees the safety of the planet, surely that's the most sensible thing that we could do. But people have a vested interest, such as with the oil fields and so on, and therefore, they would rather carry on as we are, even if the risk is to the planet. Now, there's a phrase, wise men plant trees under whose shade they know they will never sit. I don't think Mark Twain came out with that.
I think it was Fred earlier.
I'll tell you what, it's a fantastic phrase to think about should we not be planting trees now, in the broadest sense of the word, protecting the biosphere? Not necessarily for us, not certainly not for our generation. We're probably going to be all right, Jack. But for the generations yet to come. What would Mark Twain recommend? Should we be the ants? Should we be the ants squabbling and fighting? Or should we be, make ourselves separate for that, from that process, and cling towards rationality and what might be the best common sense approach? You'll be the judge. Let us know in the comments section what you think. Please keep the comments respectful and responsible and kind if you can. Disagree by all means. Try and stay away from abuse. And we look forward to your company on the next video.
Thank you.
This one last thing keeps smiling.